Welcome to The Hollywood Outsider, an award-winning weekly entertainment podcast. And this week, we're talking about all of the TV that you're going to be watching in 2026. Plus, Kathleen Kennedy is out to Star Wars fans' joy, and Netflix found a Brinks truck to back up some cash to Warner Brothers. Let's get on with the show. Hey, everybody. Troy Heinrich sitting here today because Aaron decided to take a vacation without me. It's fine. I'll figure out some way to dump him off the boat in the cruise when we go to Alaska in July. Find out about the cruise on the website at thehollywoodoutsider.com. Also, Amanda busy, you know, doing all that end of the year stuff at her company that she gets to do all the fun stuff with. So I called in the heavy hitters. And because we're talking about TV, I know you're all excited to welcome back Kyle from NoReruns.net. Hey, Kyle.
Hey, thanks for having me back.
Absolutely. And then I went deep, people, into the TV podcaster archive of human beings to find my good friend who used to work with me over at Golden Spiral Media, the one and only Jeremiah Penhorst. What's up, Jeremiah?
Hello, hello. That's my best Amanda impression, which obviously no one could fill in for Amanda, but I tried. Hello, everybody.
Give us a little background on you, Jeremiah. How did you come around to being a TV expert?
Oh, wow. TV expert. I don't know if I would go that far, but other than the fact that I've been watching television since I was a child, but I've been doing podcasting since 2010, started where I did my own podcast for the legendary show, Mad Men. I think everyone can agree that's a fantastic show.
Very good show.
That was probably my start as far as what I was doing, but I've been guest host on many podcasts. You had mentioned GSM for Golden Spiral Media. I did Mouse House Weekly for Daryl Darnell, and then I've been on post-show recaps for a long time. I helped Rob Sesternino start that scripted side of his network over there for Rob Has a Podcast. And I've also done guest spots on other podcasts, including stuff for Jay and Jack. So I've been around.
Jay and Jack. There is a callback. The Lost Days.
Yeah, I'm pretty good friends with all of them. They're definitely some of my favorite peeps in the podcasting, TV podcasting world.
Well, glad you're here, Kyle. Welcome back again. Ready to talk about 700 or probably at this point? Are we at 800, Kyle? What's the number for the 2026?
I have no idea. It's whatever it is. It's too many to try to watch the first episode of everything anymore.
Do you actually get screeners and stuff still? Do they try to shove stuff your way?
Oh, I still get screeners, but I hardly ever get around to watching all this stuff. Like,
so
there's just way
many
too many shows.
Things. So many things.
Too many things.
Speaking of many things, a little news before we get going here with our top 20 for 2026. Kathleen Kennedy, I know everybody is pretty excited if you're a Star Wars fan because, you know, the expanded universe is back. Is Dave Filoni going to go to the well and say it's recreated? What do we think is going to happen now that Kathleen is out?
Obviously, I think most of us are all pretty excited about this decision. I think if I recall, the rumors had gone out a long time ago that Dave Filoni was going to be taking over this franchise, and I think it's fantastic news. I mean, I know a lot of people love to really give Kathleen a lot of hard time. To me, she is one of the most legendary producers in film for, in my opinion, one of the best we've ever had. She's been responsible for producing some of the greatest movies, including Star Wars stuff. But her time on the back end of Star Wars when Disney took over, I just feel like it was really obviously lacking a lot of stuff. And as we all know, Dave Filoni's been involved with this universe for a long time and has been making great stuff. He's passionate. I think we're in good shape now, hopefully.
Yeah,
fingers crossed.
And we think Lucasfilm obviously is more than just Star Wars, right? It's also Indiana Jones. It's also E.T. So there's a lot that Dave Filoni could tap into here as they move forward and look at the future of how this is all going to break down. And remember, Disney's way of doing it is separating the creative side from the business side. And so they're very much following that same kind of maneuver that they have over at Pixar. So I think that Filoni's going to have a little bit more leeway on creativity and what they're going to be able to do. I especially love that, you know, him and Favreau together, you know, doing The Mandalorian and Ahsoka and The Clone Wars, some of the best of the Star Wars stuff that's been on TV. So really tapping into that, I think we're going to see some amazing things out of the Star Wars, but I'm really excited to see what is he going to do with the other properties. Are we actually going to get a golden era of like stuff coming out of Lucasfilm again that they could tap into from the back catalog? What do you think, Kyle?
Yeah, I mean, if he's as much of a fan as he is with the Star Wars stuff, with like Indiana Jones and other stuff, I think we're in for a treat with him in charge, because he definitely loves these properties, and you can tell in the products that he makes. So yeah, I think it's good.
And I think what we're going to end up having, right, we have two more movies under the Kathleen Kennedy saga, right? We have The Mandalorian and Grogu, which is out this year. And then we have, what was it, Star Wars Starfighter is next year, I believe.
Yeah, that's the Ryan Gosling one.
I believe so.
Correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
So,
which actually, I think it sounds promising.
Yeah. I mean, and there's been a couple that have been shelved, right? We had the Daisy Ridley one that was kind of shelved. We had Rogue One, right? With Patty. That one got shelved. So I think that Star Wars is going to be in a good place. And I'm kind of wondering if we're like at that time period now of, do we move into another trilogy of some kind, since it was, you know, the late 90s when we had the prequels, and then we moved into that late, that 2000s, early, you know, early teens when we had the next set of trilogies. So are we on the brink of another trilogy, or do you think we have to wait till 2030 before we see a new trilogy?
Excellent question.
Trilogy?
I mean, it is a great question. I mean, from what I understand, from what I've read, if I recall, I mean, I do think they're slowing things down a little bit, and I think they're focusing mostly on film, correct?
That's what I've been
outside
hearing.
Of a few projects. I know we have Ahsoka's coming back this season or this year, if I recall. But I don't know what else they're going to continue. Obviously, they've dropped Grogu, a Mandalorian, to make a movie, and I think that's all we're getting. So, which I was annoyed by, but you know, it seems to be the direction they want to go. So I don't see why a trilogy is not out of the question at some point.
I hope we get something.
Yeah, for sure.
So Kyle,
as long as it's good, we just want good Star Wars. That's all I want. I just want good Star Wars. I don't want crap.
Well, we'll have to see as things play out. But some other people are making news in the headlines with Netflix. And they found a way to not necessarily match the Paramount deal, Kyle, but they said, hey, we understand that the stock cash option the first time around may not have been so sexy. So they said, screw it. Here's a bunch of dollar bills, dropped them on the shareholders' doors and said, let's go ahead and make this thing happen. What do you think about what Warner Brothers and Netflix are doing now?
See, I just don't want Netflix to have it, because we just won't see these movies. We don't even hear about these movies. There's so many things on Netflix. Someone mentioned it, I don't even remember hearing about it. Like, even just Jay Kelly, Aaron mentioned it today on the Ho group, and I didn't even know that movie existed, because it was like in some limited theater release just for awards, and then got dropped on Netflix, never to be seen or talked about again. And I think that's what's going to happen with all this Warner Brothers stuff. If Netflix gets it, it's just going to get buried in there behind a streaming wall. You won't be able to buy it on disc. You won't be able to buy it on digital. No one's going to talk about these movies, because they're going to get forgotten, because you have to have a Netflix subscription to watch it. So I would much rather have Paramount get it, and they'll still release stuff on disc and digital, and still in the theater. I mean, Netflix claims now that they're going to do this 45-day thing, but I guess my guess is that would disappear as soon as they're not contractually obligated to do 45 days in the theater.
What about you, Jeremiah? You think Kyle's on to something there, or you disagree?
I want Apple to jump in. Can't Apple get in there? Come on, they got trillions of dollars. Can't they jump in there and save Warner Brothers? I mean, granted, I know it's probably be the same fears that everybody else has, including, of course, Kyle's fears here, that they're going to neglect the movie theater aspect of film. But, I mean, I have concerns about all this, obviously. I mean, I hate the fact that Warner Bros. Is in a position where they feel like they have to dump, and that really hurts my heart. I mean, Warner Brothers, their library is full of some of my favorite pictures. And I mean, I'm worried about that. And of course, I'm obviously worried about the thoughts that we're not going to have as much in the theaters possibly, or, I mean, but we'll see. I mean, if I had to lean towards one or the other, I, don't hate me, but I think I'd rather, I guess, if it's just between those two, Netflix? But I don't know. We'll see. I totally understand those concerns.
People don't understand when they think about these deals is about shareholder value. And when you look at Paramount and what they have to offer, they're also offering to buy what would become the new Discovery Global Network. That's the linear channels, CNN, TNT, TBS, Discovery, HGTV, Food Network, TLC, Animal Planet, Cartoon Network, International Discovery Channels, Discovery Plus, and the Bleacher Report. Right. Can't forget the Bleacher Report. Super important.
That's important.
Apparently. So like Paramount's deal would include all of that on top of Warner Brothers Studios, film and TV libraries, the DC Universe, HBO, HBO Max, and any other streaming assets that are left over. And so when you think about Paramount and Skydance and them going through what they've already accomplished, in order for them to do the cash deal that they were talking about, they would have to take on a significant amount of debt to borrow the money in order to make that cash offer happen, which would then, for the stockholders, actually make that a worse option if you're a stockholder of Warner Brothers to go that route, because then the new company is not going to be as profitable until that debt gets repaid off, compared to Netflix, who has flush cash and it could just come in, say cash offer, the balance sheet looks better, and Netflix is doing the right thing where they're focusing on just the studio, the film library, the DC, the HBO, and saying all that, you know, overhead of linear cable goes away. No more CNN, no more TNT, no more TBS. Let that be its own thing. It's fine. It does what it needs to do. But Discovery Global, this new company that would then get spun out of it, yeah, that is the company that should run that stuff. And Netflix is focusing on what matters is their bread and butter. Making movies, making TV shows, get some awards, put it on the service, have a nice day. And for one, I'm like, I'm of the person that's like, okay, well, if Disney Plus and Hulu can exist in the same world, why can't a Netflix HBO bundle exist in the same world? And yes, I know we're back to bundles again, but at the same time,
Hulu's also going away.
Well, Hulu's going to exist. It's just going to be a channel inside of Disney Plus versus its separate standalone app until they eventually probably just make it all Disney and not have the channels, because that'll be the next phase. We broke it into channels and now we're going to bring it all back into one brand. And
if your definition is bundle, meaning that one streaming app that I go to for everything, those things I don't mind. I like that. You know, I mean, to me, I think it's great if all I have to do is go to one place and I know I'm going to get all this certain content.
I don't disagree that like Apple would be kind of interesting to throw their hat into the ring for this, but Apple's already making their own stuff, right? Netflix has made their own stuff, but they haven't really made their own stuff. They've still bought their own stuff. Now Netflix has like a powerhouse movie studio that they can actually dip into, because Netflix movies hasn't really been their main focus. They've really been focused on the TV side of the house. So I think this is a great move for Netflix. It's going to make them more concrete in themselves as a media company as they move into this next phase of the 21st century.
All I'm saying is, listen, everything I hear from Apple is they want to be they're a service company. They want to be a service company more than anything. And they also want to get in media. And what better way to be in media than to buy out Warner Brothers properties? I mean, look all they would get. Not only do they have news, they would have a library of amazing movies and a studio. And to me it sounds great, but obviously it's not going to happen. This is all wishful thinking, because I'm sure by now if they were even remotely interested, that would have leaked by now. So I think we only have these two players.
Yeah, and really I think it's only down to the one at this point, because the shareholders voted to nix the Paramount offer, and so then this one got redone, and so this is where we're headed going forward. Like, it'll be Netflix pending, you know, any kind of FCC and FTC and all that fun regulation stuff that has to happen.
Let's just hope that all of our fears about that does not come true.
You know where fears do not come true?
Oh, by all means, segue, man, tell us.
They come from our fans, and our fans are the ones that keep this live, loud, and independent by supporting us at Patreon at Patreon. That's patreon.com/thehollywoodoutsider. It's January, so we got new bonus content coming. We got new bad movie nights coming. So if you are ready to step into helping us out this year, get that New Year's resolution, save on that $5 cup of coffee and send it our way instead, buy us a cup of coffee. It'd be really nice. We'd love to have a chat with you. Go on over to Patreon, patreon.com/thehollywoodoutsider, and donate today. And we would love it, because we got so much to cover. as we get into the top 20 TV shows that everybody should be watching this calendar year. All right, so much like we did for movies last week, we are going to run down the top 20 shows, alternating myself, then Jeremiah, and then Kyle. We'll give you all the fun ones that you should probably have on your radar, because this is on pretty much all of our lists at this point in time. And once we get through these 20, we'll go ahead and move into our next set of shows. We each picked three that we think are going to be the next, we'll call it nine, after that top 20. And then we're actually going to talk about our returning favorites, because, oh my gosh, on top of all of these new shows, there's still all the returning shows that are coming back. When am I going to have time to watch any of this stuff?
You won't.
All right. So let's go ahead and start. We're kind of going to go, I guess, in air date order. There's not really a top 20, 1 to 20 kind of feel to this. So we're going to start in January. Yes, some of these have already started by the time you hear this, but it's important because they did air in 2026, and we want to make sure you know about them. And the one that we all want you to know about is the first one we talked about last week for what you've been watching, and that is His and Hers on Netflix. Like, the full six episodes is now out there, ready to go. Dee Johnson and William Oleroyd were the ones that created this thing, adapted it from the books. Tessa Thompson, John Bernthal, Pablo Schreiber are here. We talked about the six episode mystery thriller last week. Watch it. Do not ask questions. Do not search the internet. Do not read the, just sit down, enjoy the 4.5 hours. It's amazing. A couple comes to a Georgia town and a murder ensues. And that's all you need to know.
That's all you need to know. You know what else? We were just talking about Warner Brothers. How about some HBO love?
Ooh.
The Knight of the Seven Kingdoms is finally here, everyone. This, of course, is Matthew Parkhill and Guy Ritchie has got together to was starring Peter Claffey and Dexter Sol Ansley. And this, for those of you who are not familiar, like you said, this is another one that's already started. I think the first episode has already dropped when we're recording this. This is based off of a series of short novels, if I recall, Duncan Egg, which is, it's a lighter character-driven fantasy about the noble Hinge Knight and his young squire as they expand the Westeros lore. I will be the first to admit, y'all, I have not watched the episode yet. Don't get wrong, I will, but I have not. Kyle, I think you said you watched it, correct?
Yeah, I watched it. It has definitely a different feel. And it has fun with what you're expecting to see in like a Game of Thrones series. It has a lot more humor to it so far in that first episode. But yeah, I'm enjoying what they set up. I think it's only like six episodes this season, so it's going to be a short. Actually, I
just
guess,
like the story.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm interested to see where it goes. Like they leave you. They set things up. In the first episode, they set up the world of this knight who's traveling, and he just became a knight, or he declared himself a knight, and you're trying to see where he ends up.
So far, with the first episode, you are feeling pretty good about it?
Yeah, it took a little bit to get used to, because I'm expecting like a big action, like dragons and stuff, but it's more humor and toned down a bit than the usual Game of Thrones.
Do
I don't
we
think there
think
was
this,
any massacres in the first episode.
Right. Do you think this is a mistake? Because only I say that because, you know, when you think about Game of Thrones and you think about their fans, is this too toned down for them? Are they going to watch this and go, what is this? I'm not interested. This is boring.
I think they'll initially, but since it has a lot of humor, it's like a completely different type of thing. I mean, it's not like we still have more House of the Dragon coming, so it's not like this is what we're stuck with. Right now, and I think it might be a standalone thing. I don't know that there's any plan to do like a second season of this.
That's a good question.
But yeah, I mean, it's fun. It's just something different set in this world.
Okay.
I mean, isn't the whole point of TV to keep the show going as long as possible?
That's true.
it seems to be the world we live in. Troy, did you say you are watching it?
I am going to watch it. I did not get a chance to catch the episode. I had some family stuff going on this week, so it is on my list. I'm trying to get caught back up. But I was kind of curious about that whole humor thing, you know, because Mm-hmm. We're living in the, I'm a Star Trek person, right? So I'm living in that, like, is Lower Decks going to be any good? Is Prodigy as a Star Trek cartoon going to be any good? And you know, you kind of have to say, like, where are the audiences I want to tap into to expand the Game of Thrones concept? Because maybe this becomes a loss leader to get people into actual Game of Thrones potentially. So I'm excited because I do like a good, like, buddy comedy type feel. Mm-hmm. And if it's going to expand some of the history, at least give us some backstory on some things, I'd be down for that.
Cool.
The one that's not down for having their life turned upside down is probably Kaylee Cuoco, because a flight attendant was just a complete train wreck for her and how she experienced that run on that show for two seasons. She's back again traveling the world. This time she is in Paris on a romantic trip with Sam Kaplan in a 4-part suspense drama about a woman whose partner disappears during that trip, but it triggers a tense international investigation. Not just a French investigation, not a French connection, an international stage.
International.
So
that's intense.
I'm excited. This one's from David Hilton and Preston Thompson, and it'll be coming to MGM Plus.
Whoa, hold on, stop. MGM Plus. Seriously? What do you know? How do you watch that?
I actually have that. I used to have Stars, but they switched my cable subscription to give me MGM Plus instead. So
is MGM Plus basically the old Stars?
No, it was, it had a different name. I forget what channel it was called. It was called something else before they renamed it to MGM Plus.
So typically the MGM Plus shows will end up on AMC's streaming and AMC's linear cable channel at a point in time. But if you're interested in seeing it like first run immediately, the easiest way that I found to get MGM Plus is to add it to your Amazon Prime subscription and watch it inside of Amazon Prime. That's where I've picked up. Now, I would appreciate that this would be at the same time that From would come back potentially, because then I could have two shows on MGM Plus and only pay one month for the subscription rather than having to keep MGM Plus around a couple months this year. But I will watch this because Kaylee Cuoco, everything she's done has been amazing.
I don't think you mentioned the name. It was Vanished.
Oh, Vanished. Yes, is the name of the show. Correct. Thank you so
much.
That
is probably important to know, you know.
It is. I mean, there isn't many on MGM Plus. I'm sure you could figure out the tile that has Kaylee Cuoco's picture on it.
So basically what I'm hearing is that you have a crush on Kaylee, and that's why you're going to watch it.
Yeah. It's great.
No, I listen, I'm not, if you tell me it's really good, I'll add it on, but I already pay for so much stuff. I have to really think about what I'm going to watch.
My recommendation would be wait for From to come back, and then you can binge watch all of From, because From is amazing. It'll be having its fourth season. We'll talk about it later. And then you watch this, because it'll, you know, the whole 4-part suspense drama will be done and out. So you just sign up for MGM Plus for a month for $7.
Fair enough.
They've had some decent shows on MGM Plus. They had the Billy the Kid one, right?
Oh, yeah. 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 I've really tried to figure out, like, when can I, like, snag the MGM Plus subscription and try to, like, that is all I watch for that month is MGM Plus, because they do have some good quality content out there.
All right. A lot of MGM love here on this podcast.
Yeah.
All right. Steel on Amazon Prime. Oh, yeah. Directed, we have directors are Sam Miller and Haiti McDonald, and it stars, oh, speaking of Game of Thrones, Sophie Turner. Oh, I might be in right there. I'm in Jacob Fortune Lloyd, and this is a British heist thriller. Oh, okay, now I'm excited. Following an officer worker unexpectedly caught up in a major robbery and the dangerous underworld it exposes.
Now, from what I understand of this show, is basically episode one, and I could be wrong. This is, I had a friend talk to me about this one. It was like episode one shows you everything that happens, the whole story. It was kind of like, Kaleidoscope?
Yes.
Yeah. Where you could watch it whatever order you wanted to. And one of them was like the actual heist. And then you could figure out all the pieces that go along with it. That's my understanding of this, is that you see everything and how it went so successfully perfect in the first episode, and then they start to peel back, you know, the how it was done for the rest of the series.
Okay. I mean, that sounds interesting. I might give it a chance.
Yeah.
I mean, I said, you know, Sophie Turner. I mean, you know.
I like a good caper.
I do like a good caper. That's true. I am a big, big fan. Anybody who knows me, if it's involving a heist, I'm in.
Yeah, I'm always a fan of heist things.
All right. Okay.
So we need to make a musical now. Lin-Manuel Miranda has to do In the Heist.
Yes. Yes, let's make that happen.
So next up is Imperfect Women on Apple TV Plus on March 18th. The creator is Annie Weissman. It stars Elizabeth Moss, Kerry Washington, and Kate Mara. That's a pretty strong cast. It's a limited psychological thriller about lifelong friends whose bond is shattered by a devastating crime and the secrets it unearths. All of these shows seem to have secrets to them.
The secret is that limited is the new word. Six episodes. Oh,
limited just means limited, if it does well, we'll do another season, but...
Or it'll be the anthology series. It'll be a different thing that they'll explore in season two.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Like, that's the whole thing. Like, remember how with like White Lotus, it was this limited series. And, oh, well, never mind. It did so well. We're going to do like a lot of seasons. We're just going to turn into an anthology show. Sort of.
But Elizabeth Moss, Kerry Washington teaming up. Like, this has got...
I'm in. Yeah.
Emmy Masterclass, like, written all over it.
Yeah, this smells like an Emmy grab for the Emmys for sure, right?
Yeah, and it fits right into the Apple TV mantra, right? Strong females leading shows over there for Apple TV Plus. March 18th, it's going to be, I think it's going to be a big one for Apple. There's like a lull, I think, for Apple in March, right? Because like For All Mankind just is dropping and coming back for the fifth season. So there's going to be like this rut, I think, in spring. Apple needs some stuff, and maybe this will be the thing that fills it up.
Wow. Okay. Exciting.
This one is a shock, to be honest, for people of our age, because we grew up with Tom Hanks living in the burbs, and it is a great movie. So to see something similar coming to Peacock on February 8th, The Burbs is starring Kiki Palmer, Jack Whitehall, and Paula Pell, and it's going to be a horror comedy reimagining... Not the same telling, a reimagining of the 1989 cult film that follows a suburban couple who run into a bizarre and possibly sinister neighbor. So.
I don't remember the movie that much. It's been so long since I saw it, but I'm really excited for this. That cast is great. Like Kiki Palmer, I always enjoy her. Jack Whitehall, I find him hilarious. And then I don't know if you watched Malice on Prime that was just released like at the end of the year, that he played like a villainous character. So that was good. So I'm interested to see him back in comedy. And Paula Pell is always a lot of fun too. So
adds Malice to list at position 645. So much TV.
Yeah,
the movie was basically a bunch of neighbors that enjoy their suburban white bread living, and creepy family moves in and they suspect that they're killing people and burning them in the basement. And so they do all kinds of Home Alone type hijink, you know, peek over the fence, try to climb on a tree, you know, lure them out of the house, anything they can to expose the family. So if that's where this is going to go, it could be a lot of fun on a comedy for the Peacock.
He's underselling this. It is one of the greatest Tom Hanks comedies of all time. I watch it every year. It is the best. And the fact that they're even trying to make something called The Burbs just drives me crazy. I'm out just because I'm annoyed by this whole thing.
Would you say that you're an old white man and get off my lawn?
Yeah, get off my lawn. How dare you try to do something involving one of my favorite pieces of film.
Movies. No,
I don't know. I mean,
now.
I like Kiki Palmer. I like this cast. I don't know. I tell you what. If you all text me and tell me that you love it, you know, I'm cool with that.
You bet.
All right. So up next, everyone, we're going back to Prime Video with 56 Days. Now, this was something that was not on my radar as well. It is stars Dove Cameron and Ava, is it Joga? I don't know. But this is a thriller adapted by the Catherine Ryan Howard's novel, A Couple's Windward Romance comes under scrutiny when a body is discovered in his apartment after an intense 56-day relationship.
So if I remember the book correctly, the book is actually taking place like right during the height of COVID-19. So
interesting.
Characters, I think it was Sierra and Oliver in the book, They meet at a Dublin supermarket, and COVID-19 just happens to begin, right? That's 56 days ago. And then at about the 35-day mark, now that lockdown is coming, Oliver suggests that they move in together. And for Sierra, it feels like it's a rare opportunity to let the relationship bloom. They can have their total privacy. It's this whirlwind romance, and it's perfect. And Oliver's like, whoa, my true nature's coming out. She's getting murdered. And then, of course, today, the detectives force their way into Oliver's apartment and find a body decomposing. And we have to determine, is it actually Sierra's or not? So the book is pretty riveting. So I think this could be a lot of fun, especially with Dove Cameron starring. Could be interesting to see how she plays this character. I'm kind of excited to see the adaptation.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with the novel, but it sounds interesting.
Yeah, same here. Yeah. So next up is the animated series Strip Law on Netflix, which premieres in February 20th. It stars Adam Scott, Janelle James, Keith David, and Stephen Root. The series is set in Las Vegas and follows an uptight lawyer, Lincoln Gum, who is too boring to win cases on his own. He teams up with a local magician and hedonist, Sheila Flambe, to bring flash and pizzazz to the city's most ridiculous legal cases. So this sounds great. This sounds so, like we were talking a few weeks ago on the last time I was on the podcast, we were talking about magicians and heist movies and things. And like, this sounds like they listened to us that we wanted more like that. So now we get to see a magician teaming up with a cop to solve cases. It sounds excellent.
Feels like a Lucifer meets Suits in Sin City.
I'm intrigued. It's an interesting premise. So I love Adam Scott, so I'll give it a try.
No, why not? I'm assuming Adam is playing Lincoln Gum, and I can understand why sometimes he might be looked at as too boring. He just kind of has that, like, he just exists kind of face.
He does, doesn't he?
Maybe he was kept inside too long in a, you know, in an office building potentially.
Mm-mm-mm. Okay.
Comedies. Comedies are all the rage on NBC, right? Must-see Thursdays.
Oh, absolutely.
Classics, right? This time we're going to get the most unlikely pairing I ever thought I would see on television. Tracy Morgan is going to team up with Daniel Radcliffe. That's right.
Daniel Radcliffe
on a TV show. Limited comedy drama is going to be about a disgraced former football star who hires a documentary filmmaker to help rehabilitate his public image, forcing truth and self-reflection.
I mean, if you had told me that these two were pairing up for something, I would have been like, no, they're not. This is crazy. Tracy Morgan and Daniel Radcliffe, I'm in.
They did air the first episode of this after football. They aired it early. It doesn't premiere until February 23rd, but they aired it early, like, last week. It's very Tracy Morgan. Like, if you've seen him in... he was in 30 Rock, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so it's very much him doing the same type of stuff. And then Daniel Radcliffe is like the documentarian guy who is hired. And he's just a little bit wacky and out there, too. I think they do play well off one another.
Is it like the Daniel Radcliffe from like a Now You See Me type persona? Or is this a Daniel Radcliffe we've never seen before?
No, we've seen this type of funny... Like, he was also in another show. It was an anthology show that changed every season. He was on that. He played this weird, wacky type of guy on that, too. So we've seen this kind of comedy from him before, but it's entertaining to watch.
But the first step worked for you?
Yes. Yeah, I'll watch more of it.
All right. Sounds good.
Yeah. It would have been odd to switch the roles, right? Daniel playing the football player. And
that's true.
that I would have watched the hell out of.
that actually might be more entertaining. It's the
NFL kicker story, right? Why everybody's clicking these 67-yard field goals all year, and here's Daniel Radcliffe, like, down on his luck, can't kick a 30-yard field goal, and Tracy Moore gets the filmmaker.
Oh my gosh! That'd be amazing. speaking of other things that's coming out on February 23rd, CBS is releasing a new show called CIA, starring Nick Ellis Tom Ellis and Nick, is it Gelfis? I guess something like that.
Yeah.
A oh, this is what we all need, a new procedural in the FBI franchise universe, pairing a rule-breaking CIA officer, boy, that's what a trope that is, with a by-the-book FBI agent as they tackle threats on the U.S. soil. Seriously, these networks, I mean, who's coming up with this stuff? Like, hey, let's do something that's been done a million times. Yay!
I mean, like, this, it's your typical buddy cop.
Exactly. It's the typical buddy cop where you have one person who's like the rule breaker and the other person is not. Oh, my God. I'm out. What do you all think?
Well, they're stereotyping it, too, because they're putting the rule-breaking person as the CIA and the by-the-book as the FBI person.
Oh, the big difference.
That's okay. The big difference. You know, you would expect it to go the other way, to have some excitement, but when they actually follow the, you know, the law, it basically turns out like the, and it could be good. You know, we have like the whole Chicago Fire, Chicago Hope, Chicago Med. Yeah, we have the whole Law and Order, and I mean NCIS. So if FBI wants to branch out and go to CIA and then eventually go to Navy SEALs or something.
Oh boy.
Like,
then it's back to JAG.
Yes.
We're in a loop.
Exactly right.
See, I'm the last person in that. I'm very cynical because I do not watch any of these network procedurals anymore. So no. I'm the last person to ask. I would rather watch anything else.
Yeah, this is one of those. It sounds like it could be fun, but I have way too many shows, and this is easy exactly. one to skip for me. Although I'm sure this one will do well with Tom Ellis there. He has a lot of fans. So
this is like the one that you like flip on when you're like wake up at 2 a.m. and you just need some background noise to fall asleep.
100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
100%. Okay.
And FX is always in the Ryan Murphy gang game, and he's got yet another show coming called American Love Story to be announced. I'm not sure when this is premiering. It stars Paul Kelly and Sarah Pigeon, and it's a limited anthology series recreating the ill-fated romance between John F. Kennedy Jr. and Carolyn Bessette with period drama flair and emotional depth. Hmm. All of these Ryan Murphy shows, I never make it through the season. Like, I start watching them because they sound interesting or they look a little fun, but I never seem to make my way through, finish a Ryan Murphy show.
But in this case, he's pulling off of like real life situations, so maybe this will be different from his usual fare.
That's true. He did the OJ one a while back, mm-hmm. right? That was him. Yeah, mm-hmm. and that one I actually completed. That was probably the last one I actually watched the whole thing.
All right, so we'll report back next year. Since we don't know when this one is, it may air in December. So we'll fill you in. Kyle will be back for TV next year, this time, and tell you if he actually finished American Love Story or not.
There you go.
Oh man, just when we thought we were free from CBS and the CIA and the FBI, the Marshals show up on March 1st. Oh my gosh, Luke Grimes is going to star in a new Western-infused procedural following Casey Dutton as he leads an elite U.S. Marshals unit mixing frontier justice with a modern crime drama. Now, see, I would watch that because we need good Westerns. Like, we're missing a Western these days.
I mean, that's fair. That's fair.
See, I'll probably watch this because it's connected to Yellowstone. Like,
oh, is it?
Yeah, it used to be called Y:Marshals, but they got rid of the Y. Just to tell people, hey, we're connected to Yellowstone, but now it's just called Marshals. So that's the Casey Dutton is his character from Yellowstone, and so this is like a spinoff of that.
Wow, they also got rid of the Y because we're like, why Marshals?
Yeah,
who wants to watch that?
Because we're trying to explain why Marshals, why you want to watch Marshals.
I mean,
if people get confused. Maybe it's like the YMCA. You know, hey, it's the Y Marshals. It's the people that like tell you can't get on the gym equipment at 7 o'clock in the morning. That actually might be a better show.
That would be a fun comedy.
I'm down with that.
The musings of the people at the YMCA and how they go through their morning routines. Trademark, copyright, right here.
Wow.
But again, well, procedural drama, right? It's going to be typical CBS fodder.
That's what I'm afraid of. But this is gonna probably get people at me on this one. But I haven't watched Yellowstone, so I know I'm in the minority here. I know a lot of people love that show, so I don't have that connection. And but I do agree, we need Westerns. So maybe this will be good.
I know you're not that minority because I didn't watch it either.
Oh, okay, all right. I thought maybe I would be because I know it was a very popular show. So.
Just
all right.
Never got there.
Never got there. Well, maybe the two of us should sit down someday and watch it.
Sure.
You know. Here's something though. Maybe we'll watch. I don't know. Another Prime Video, March 4th. We have Young Sherlock. Yes, another version of Sherlock is coming out. This time on Prime Video, we got Hero. Is it Phineas Tiffin? And this is a fresh 8-episode reimagining of Sherlock Holmes' earliest investigations, blending classic detective mystery with cinematic flair.
I love how they have to focus on the earliest part, because like I don't know which ones are early, middle, or late. They're all investigations.
Yeah. That's an excellent question. Did any of you watch it? Because last year it celebrated, I think it's 40th anniversary of a movie called Young Sherlock that came out in the 80s. Did anybody see that?
I don't think I've ever seen that. I mean, I've seen like photos, like I would recognize like a screen cap from it, but I've never actually sat down to watch it.
You know, I have an unfair biased opinion about it because it was one of my childhood movies that I enjoyed watching. I did revisit it since it was its anniversary. I still liked it. I thought it has some charm to it. It would be interesting to see what a TV show involving a young Sherlock could be. I mean, it might be good. I'm not very familiar with this young man that's starring as Sherlock, but I don't know. What do you think, Troy?
I mean, I love the Sherlock concept, like especially Benedict Cumberbatch when he did Sherlock, right, for BBC. It was so good. I think people like good mystery detective figure things out. Like it keeps the brain engaged. So like that makes for really good television. So if you can get more of that classic style to it, and maybe it even gets a little bit noirish in a way, like that could be really, really cool and interesting. Because I honestly haven't been like tapping into the Prime Video as much, except for Fallout currently airing. But Prime, right. Prime's been my probably least watched thing, which is okay because technically it's bundled in with the other Prime stuff, so I don't feel bad for the paying for it.
Sure.
But yeah, I'm looking for something on Prime to watch these days, so this might be something I could pick up soon.
Did either of you watch the Sherlock's Daughter show that was on CW this past...
See, you said CW, and I checked out.
I was just going to say the same thing. You said CW, and I was already out.
There was a time where we relied a lot on CW, but it just...
I enjoyed that one. It just reminded me that we are seeing Sherlock stuff. There's no shortage of Sherlock.
Days.
Speaking of Prime Video, there's another show premiering on March 11th called Scarpetta, which stars Nicole Kidman, Jamie Lee Curtis, and Bobby Cannavale. It's based on Patricia Cornwell's novels. This crime thriller follows forensic pathologist Kay Scarpetta as she confronts a grisly murder and personal demons. I'm not familiar with these books. I've heard of Patricia Cornwell, but I mean, that cast sounds amazing, so I would definitely check this out.
Oh, I'm super pumped. This is the first one on this top 20 list where I will say, as soon as I saw it, I'm like, okay, I'm in. Mainly for this cast. I am not familiar with the source material neither, but it sounds really good. So, I don't know. What do you think about Troy?
Nicole, Jamie, Bobby.
Right.
They could literally be painting a house. They could literally do like home improvement.
Scarpainta?
Scarpainta. 100%. On point. The three of these, it doesn't matter what they're doing, I'm in. And the fact that it's a crime thriller, I'm so in. The crime thriller is where it's all about these days. Surprise me. That's what I
know. It's crazy, right?
Surprising Minnie Driver back on TV, coming to Fox in March with The Faithful. It's going to be a 3-week event series. So many event and limited stuff going on here. 3-week event series dramatizing the book of Genesis through the eyes of 5 Old Testament women, blending epic storytelling with character-driven drama. So the question I have, right? It's a religious thing. Is this going to be more like Noah type religion where it's not really religion, or is it going to be like hardcore religion? Cause it is on Fox after all. You know, Natasha Karam and Alexa Davalos are here as well. What I like about this is that it's taking the focus of women in the Old Testament versus the men of the Old Testament and going from that angle. So that could be really interesting on how they expand those stories. but it's a matter of like how familiar are people with the Old Testament as a historical book, and then being able to know these stories as they experience them. So I think that's an interesting take on this and how people are going to receive it, I think.
Are they trying to capitalize? I mean, I'm sure you all have noticed there is a lot more biblical things out there, not just on television and film too. We've been seeing a big push from that. I mean, obviously you have the Angel Network who's been putting a lot of stuff out. But I feel like even on, you know, the non-religious studios, you can see more and more of them like producing things that's biblically based. And I think they're probably just trying to go after that market from what I can tell, right? But I mean, it's a good question. I mean, it probably will do well.
And I would think. Fox has had stuff like this before, I think, too.
That's what I thought. See, yeah. I was trying to remember. Wasn't there a series called David or something recently, too? Or I can't remember. But anyway, I just know I've seen a lot of stuff pop around lately that has to do with some kind of biblical topic.
Well, speaking of Angel, I think Angel's putting out a movie about David.
They already did.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of. Okay. All right.
And of course, they always focus on David and Goliath and David being this huge hero and everything. And then they totally forget that, oh, yeah, the guy that was like living next door, he stooped his wife and then sent that guy out to die on the front of the war line. That's the show HBO needs to pick up.
Okay. Well, maybe. We'll see. All right. So coming out on Hulu Disney, are we calling Hulu Disney? Whatever, right? The Disney platform. The Testaments with, this is from creator Bruce Miller and Alan Heinberg. It is a spinoff continuation of The Handmaid's Tale. That just ended recently, didn't it?
Yeah, last year.
Okay. Universe focusing on a new generation of women who've only ever known the horrors of the, is it Gilead? I never watched the show, by the way. So
yeah,
don't,
Gilead.
Gilead, yeah. I feel so bad about this because this is Elizabeth, that was Elizabeth Moss' big thing after Mad Men, and I was going to watch it, and I just never did. Maybe I'll binge it now.
Dude, you have to binge The Handmaid's Tale. The Handmaid's Tale is so good.
I feel like I knew you were going to give me a hard time about this. So what about this? Since you are familiar with Handmaid's Tale, are you excited about this?
It's an audio podcast. Kyle's holding up The Handmaid's Tale box set.
They mail it to me, but I haven't sat down to watch it yet. I've only seen the first season.
My understanding of what The Testaments is supposed to be is that like the kids that were taken from the mothers mm-hmm. being like Elizabeth Moss's age in the original, that's like these are supposed to be their kids. So they've grown up basically, quote unquote, in the system. So they've only ever known Gilead as the country. They've never known America as America. So like how do they now progress forward with given the events of what happened at the end of The Handmaid's Tale? Like if this is a continuation past that point, or is this a look at something that's happening before the end of the original series? So we got to figure out where in the timeline this is going to fall. Cause where it's a spinoff doesn't necessarily mean it's moving forward in time. So we'll have to see how that all comes together, in April when it drops on the green channel inside your Disney Plus app. Cause the Hulu app will probably be gone by that point.
Now, are these the same creators who did Handmaid's Tale, or is it?
Bruce Miller was in charge of The Handmaid's Tale all the way through until the last season. And then that's when he handed off to one of the team members for that last season, probably because he started working on The Testaments.
So next up is prolific TV creator David E. Kelley has got a new show for Apple TV Plus called Margo's Got Money Troubles, which premieres on April 15th. Stars are Elle Fanning, Nicole Kidman, Michelle Pfeiffer, and Nick Offerman.
What?
Really, they struggled to find a cast for this
What?
One.
What?
There's some Apple TV money right there. I don't think I'm getting paid this year. They just like spent it all on that show.
Yeah, sorry about that, Troy.
It's okay.
A smart and stylish drama based on the 2024 novel following a woman navigating identity, family, legacy, and personal reinvention. Doesn't tell you too much, but David E. Kelley, I'll watch anything he creates.
For sure.
And that cast is amazing. So,
is it going to be more legal drama, though, is the question.
Is it a legal drama?
I don't know. That's usually David E. Kelley's bread and butter. So,
yeah.
Could it be high profile lawyering? Could it be something adjacent to lawyering? Who knows? I'm excited.
I mean, that cast alone, I have to give it a try.
Dude, Nicole, Michelle Pfeiffer? Like, come on.
That's crazy. And Nick Hofferman. I love Nick.
Nick is so good in everything he does.
Everything. Everything. 100%.
DTF St. Louis in 2026. Don't have an exact date yet, but creator Stephen Conrad is coming to HBO with Jason Bateman, David Harbour, and Linda Cardellini. Oh my gosh, this is going to be bonkers.
Talk a
darkly
a
comic series about a love triangle that ends with, guess what? A murder.
What?
I know, you were shocked by that. Blending offbeat humor with noir sensibilities and a sharp character work-driven drama. This is going to be a lot of fun because, you know, Jason Bateman, David Harbour playing off each other for a comic series, dark comic series. I'm in.
I'm in. It's got St. Louis in the name. I have to watch it, right?
Yeah.
I think it's that's where, by the way, that's where I'm originally from. but no, I mean, I'm in. Just from the cast alone, who's involved, I'll definitely gonna at least give it a try. It sounds fantastic.
Yep. I'm also down to watch.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, absolutely. So, all right. So we're both in on that one, it sounds like.
Yeah.
We're all in. All in on that one. All right. Well, what about a show called The Beauty on FX? Co-creators Ryan Murphy, Matt Hudson. We have starring Evan Peters, Rebecca Hall, Anthony Ramos, Jeremy Pope, and Ashton Kutcher. What? All right, Ryan Murphy's first major sci-fi TV project, a stylish thriller where a beauty-induced STD becomes a larger conspiracy that two detectives must unravel. This is an interesting cast.
This is wild.
This is wild.
Yeah.
Did you watch it?
I got like the first 30 minutes into it, and I was like, I don't even know where I want to go with this yet.
Because so this just dropped the other day.
Yeah, just the other day.
The first three episodes dropped like last night, I think.
I saw that and I was like, this is something I think I want to see all three episodes at once to like really get the feel for what the show is going to be. So I paused it after half an hour and I was like, I got to come back and figure this out. Because I'm with you, Kyle. Like Ryan Murphy to me is like a hit or miss.
Yeah,
so I agree. You can get something really good. And the fact that this is sci-fi TV, I was like,
uh-huh.
Like, Ryan Murphy doing sci-fi does not, my brain just fritzed like when I read that the first
beauty
time when this popped back up.
Inducing STD.
Correct.
What the yep. hell?
I got to that point in the first episode.
And you're just kind of like, yeah.
Wow.
It's going to be a trip. FX is known for doing some pretty fun, outrageous stuff over the years.
This is another one. We'll see if I finish it, but I started it.
Yeah. you had to. I mean, it was just so weird enough that it was like, okay, I'll put this on for half an hour and see. And then it was like, okay, I gotta come back and finish this because this is bonkers.
Sounds like it. All right, I'm in.
And so the last one on our 20 list is a show that recently premiered on Peacock. It's called Ponies, and it stars Emilia Clarke and Haley Lou Richardson. It's a spy thriller set in 1977 Moscow. What more does one need? Emilia Clarke and Twyla, Haley Lou Richardson, are two ponies, persons of no interest, secretly working for the American embassy until their husbands are mysteriously killed in the USSR. The unlikely pair become CIA operatives as they work to solve their husbands' murders and uncover a Cold War conspiracy. Sounds great.
This is like reverse Americans, but comedy version, a British comedy version.
That's exactly. I felt so bad too, because when I was prepping for the podcast and I saw the date, I'm like, hold on. This is already out. Cause I had it on my list of shows I wanted to watch this year. And for some reason I was thinking it was coming out in February, and I go, wait a minute, it's already out. And so obviously I have some catching up to do on Peacock.
Cause that's the thing. It's on Peacock. The only time you know stuff's coming out on Peacock is if you happen to watch Sunday Night Football, and then you're like, oh yeah, there's that show on Peacock I wanted to watch, but I forgot about it 6 months ago because I don't turn on Peacock that often.
Yeah, well, there is currently a show that I am watching, which I will be talking about here soon, that is on Peacock, but I guess I just didn't pay attention to the fact that it's already on. That's my bad.
If there was a concept where they could bundle Peacock with something else, so that way you would see it in your channel list. Like that would be
okay.
Fun, you know?
Yeah, I mean, maybe.
I mean, this is going to do great for, like, they need a draw show for Peacock, and I think this is going to be the draw show. I know they had the oh my god, what was it called? The Effect, Copenhagen was the big one they were doing after football.
Okay. Copenhagen test.
The Copenhagen test, yeah. And so I think that was like, it's good, but it's not like the broad audience type of thing. Like, this is a broad audience type show that Peacock can have people come into the service, especially now that the football's over on Sunday nights. So hopefully this will do good for them. But you know, 'cause who doesn't love Haley Lou Richardson and Emilia Clarke? It's like,
I love them.
Darlings, right?
And none of us have watched this yet, right?
Not no, yet. I haven't watched it yet. It's okay. On my to-do list on my Apple, but I have yet to.
This is on the must watch with the missus list. So I'm waiting to watch a couple of these with her. So, but I will be watching it. It's going to be great. It is 2026, and square pants are the new fashion trend. I mean, I don't know if you've been able to find them, Kyle. I don't know if you've been able to find them, Jeremiah. I've been looking everywhere. but maybe if we live in a pineapple under the sea, we could find square pants. Because now on digital, in the biggest movie ever for SpongeBob and Patrick, they're going to team up and dive into the deepest, darkest depths of the underworld where no sponge has gone before. That's right. The SpongeBob movie, The Search for Square Pants, is now here and available on digital. Get your copy today. It's going to be great.
I actually saw that in the theater. I actually really enjoyed it way more than I should have. I was probably the oldest person that wasn't a parent in the theater. But
does it have Patrick Starr in it?
He's definitely in it. Yep.
All right, then I'm watching it.
SpongeBob's going to be amazing. What else is going to be amazing? Because even though we had 20 shows, we got another 9. These are the ones that we thought might be a little more off the radar. So why don't you go ahead and give us your 3 or so there, Mr. Kyle?
Okay. So first up is RJ Decker, which premieres March 3rd on ABC. Scott Speedman stars as RJ Decker, a disgraced newspaper photographer and ex-con who starts over as a private investigator in the colorful, if crime-filled world of South Florida. The series follows him tackling cases that range from slightly odd to outright bizarre with the help of his journalist ex, her police detective wife, and shadowy new benefactor, a woman from his past who could be his greatest ally or his one-way ticket back to prison. RJ Decker is inspired by the novel Double Whammy by Carl Hiaasen. I've listened to other Carl Hiaasen books, and I've always enjoyed them. This one I didn't get around to, but it's like the Florida Man, your typical Florida Man stories, like just of weirdness and craziness happening.
But not the actual TV show Florida Man.
No, not the Florida Man TV show. Although he did appear on one episode of it.
Oh, did he really?
Yep.
Oh, that's crazy. Okay.
And I mean, I'm a Scott Speedman fan. I remember Scott going all the way back to the Felicity days. The old Ben and Noah. Which one's he gonna end up with? Speedman was also Grey's Anatomy recently. There's your Grey's Anatomy reference for the episode.
Gotta get those in.
Scott absolutely. Was also the next door neighbor on season 3 of You. Right? He was the tech billionaire. So this will be interesting. I'm curious to see how Scott plays the lead, because he's always played kind of like in an ensemble type role with the rest of a group. So the fact that he's taking the charge here, this should be fun.
It should be fun. Yeah, I would give this a watch.
So next up is The Count of Monte Cristo, which is on PBS on March 22nd. Edmond Dantès, a sailor falsely accused of treason, is imprisoned in the Chateau d'If off Marseille. After escaping and adopting the identity of the Count of Monte Cristo, he plans revenge against those who wrongly accused him. It's starring Sam Claflin, and Jeremy Irons also appears in it. I just picked this one because I had to read the book for French class way back in high school, and I remember enjoying the story. And we've seen this in movies before, but I like the idea of having 8 episodes to really expand and tell the full story in a cinematic way in a nice limited series.
I'm just excited that you're keeping us all honest and educated here. You know, a little PBS throw in.
I gotta go for the over-the-air stuff, because you guys don't, you tend to be, everything's got to be a streamer these days. So I like to throw in, I picked ABC, I picked PBS. The last one's a streamer, but But I just had to throw in some PBS.
Now, The Count of Monte Cristo is a classic story, so this should be a lot of fun. And Jeremy Irons playing this type of, you know, period piece, that's right up his alley. So I'm super excited.
I absolutely. And I love Jeremy Irons. So I would watch this. I got PBS. I can stream that.
It hasn't been cut yet. So
it has not been cut. I gave him money, so I hope it's not going to cut.
And so my third one is a show called How to Get to Heaven from Belfast. It's on Netflix on February 12th. It comes from the creator of Derry Girls, Lisa McGee, and stars, I looked up how to pronounce that name, but I have no idea, all these Irish names. But it also stars Sinead Keenan, who was on the UK Being Human show. That's a name I recognize.
Oh, yeah. I know who you're talking about.
And so it's three lifelong friends reunite after the death of an old classmate turns a wake into a dark mystery. They embark on a thrilling adventure across Ireland, piecing together enigmatic truths amid complicated lives. It looks like it has some humor, mystery, and drama to it. It just looked like a really fun show, and I enjoyed Derry Girls, and so I'm hoping it has some of that like comedic tone to it that show had.
I mean, again, you're piecing together stories, going on adventures. What's not to love here?
Yeah, I actually, when I was going through to try to make my list of shows that I'm interested in, started to put this on my list until I realized that you had on yours already. So I'm like, oh, I guess I'll skip it. But yeah, this looks good.
And so then we were doing three, but I added one more in honor of Aaron. It's called The Madison, which is on March 14th on Paramount Plus, and it's a New York family's life unravels after a tragedy as they process grief while vacationing in rural Montana, exploring human connection amidst profound sorrow. And it stars Michelle Pfeiffer and Kurt Russell, and that's why it's on there for Aaron.
Yeah, I was really hoping that's what you were going to say, because I was hoping it wasn't because Aaron unraveled some kind of tragedy while he was on vacation.
there's also a supporting cast. There's a whole bunch of other names you'd recognize, like Patrick J. Adams, Kevin Zegers, Rebecca Spence, Matthew Fox, of course, from Lost. So yeah, it could be, it's from the guy who does Yellowstone and all those other millions of shows.
Taylor Sheridan show?
Yeah.
Okay. Everybody will watch it then. Also, Matthew Fox was on Party of Five, too. Wasn't just on Lost. Just saying.
Yeah, just saying.
Mine are going to start out with one of my favorite actors, Matthew Rhys from Perry Mason, Brothers and Sisters, Americans. Going to be starring in a new Apple TV drama called Widow's Bay, about a New England mayor who refuses to acknowledge warnings from his residents that the town is cursed. This is going to follow Apple's efforts with Severance and Pluribus, obviously. It's a cryptic and brief new trailer for Widow's Bay has dropped, so you can go check that out. I'm really interested in creepy towns and the mysteries that are in there. One of my returning shows, we've already mentioned, from same kind of concept. So like, I am stoked for April 29th. Apple TV will have Matthew Rhys in the house, and I'll take my $5 now. Thanks, Tim Cook. Blade Runner, though. Now, Blade Runner, yeah, we thought, oh, how could they follow up Blade Runner with another movie? Well, now they're following it up with a TV show. That's right. What we know so far is that we're going to continue the storyline of Blade Runner 1982 and Blade Runner 2049. It's going to be called Blade Runner 2099.
99.
This follows a woman named Cora, played by Hunter Schafer, and a Blade Runner named Alwyn, played by Michelle Yeoh, who discovers a vast conspiracy in dystopian Los Angeles.
I know I'm in.
I mean, that's all you need to say, yo, right, Michelle?
Yo, that's all I need to know.
Yo.
Yeah, I didn't even know this was a thing until I saw it on your list. I'm like, whoa. Wait, what is this? And I had to do a little research, and I'm like, oh my God, I didn't even know this was happening.
And we're talking about in this era of, like, we just had Alien Earth, right? We had Predator Badlands, like 80s sci-fi kind of getting this, like, resurgence going on. Like, I am down for a little 80s sci-fi, you know, type of show. So hopefully this is going to be more Blade Runner, you know, original than 2049, because I like the original more than the 2049 movie, to be honest.
Well, so, sure, yeah.
But again, it's futuristic, right? Because it's 2099, so we'll have to see. But it's still Blade Runner, so
I assume this is HBO Max or HBO, since it's Is that a Warner Brothers
property? It is a Warner Brothers property. I do believe that is the case, but open for interpretation, depending, of course, on if Netflix makes the deal.
Nice. All right.
And then Larry David's coming back with a sketch comedy series. This one is yet untitled. No release date at this point in time. It's not going to be Curb Your Enthusiasm season 13, but any Larry David show on HBO is going to be funny. What we do know at this point is that Larry David announced that he would return to HBO with his new idea for the sketch comedy series focused on American history. The limited series is going to be executive produced by Barack and Michelle Obama's Higher Ground Productions. So this could be really, really interesting. It could be a little bit more, I don't want to say the word accurate. That sounds wrong. We don't want to try to get political or anything. But it could be, you know, it could be more somber focused and dry humor. It could be more taking a crack, drunk history type deal. Yeah, exactly. So I'm just excited because Larry David's back in HBO. That's all you really need to know.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, as soon as I heard Larry David, I'm like, all right, I will definitely watch this for sure. So yeah, that's exciting. All right, well, we'll move on to my list. Speaking of, boy, we're getting some HBO. Spoiler alert, I have a couple HBO shows on my list. All right, so starting off with Rooster on HBO Max. I guess we could call it HBO Max. In March, still to be determined on the date here, but from the mind of Shrinking's Bill Lawrence comes this comedy set on a college campus starring Steve Carell. Over 10 episodes, he plays an author with a complicated relationship with his daughter, played by Charlie Clive, and with a cast rounding up of Scott MacArthur and Maximo Salas. And when I heard Bill Lawrence making a, I'd assume, heartwarming comedy with Steve Carell, that's all I need to know. Do you all watch Shrinking? Because I'm going to be talking about it here in a second, but it's the best show on television.
I've never watched Shrinking, but I do enjoy Bill Lawrence.
Okay. What about, did you watch Ted Lasso?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, Bill Lawrence, of course, was involved in that. So to me, when I pick out shows, I do put a lot of attention onto like who's the showrunner, who's involved. And anytime like people that have done previous television shows that I absolutely love, I'm going to give this a try. And of course, it's Steve Carell. I mean, this is a no-brainer for me. I will give this a try for sure and give some HBO love.
Dude, I'll go back and even raise you Spin City and Scrubs for Bill Lawrence.
You know what? I'm sorry. I should have gone back even further. You're right.
Ted Lasso was... I watched Ted Lasso because of Scrubs. So...
Oh, fair enough. Yeah. See, there you go. So I think this is going to be great. What about you, Kevin? Troy, you think you're going to be in on this or what?
Yeah. I'm definitely down. Anything Steve Carell, Bill Lawrence, combo, comedy, college campus, come on. 40-year-old virgin all over again. Now, it's probably not like that. Especially if it's a relationship with his daughter.
Probably not.
Let's not go there. But that could be a whole other show for HBO.
I'm in a point in my life where I just love deep human stories, and this probably feels like that's what it's going to be, and so I'm excited about this. This should be really good. Another one, I debated about putting this on my list, but after reading through this, I think I'm excited about this, which I can't believe I'm saying this, and that's Lanterns, that's coming on HBO sometime late this summer. We don't have an exact date. Now, we all know we've had a little bit of superhero fatigue has been apparent across the industry with less DC and Marvel projects in development, but there is one person to trust with an adaptation.
Unless your name's Aaron.
It's Watchmen's Damon Lindelof. That's right. This is his project. He's partnering with Chris Mundy and Tom King to bring to life the Green Lantern Intergalactic Peacemakers, where Hal Jordan, played by Kyle Chandler, and John Stewart, played by Aaron Pierre, as they investigate a murder on Earth. I think really, honestly, it just comes down to, again, like I said earlier, Damon Lindelof and Kyle Chandler and people that I trust to be involved in something good. And even though I've never been a big Green Lantern Intergalactic Peace person, but this might be good. What do you think?
You specifically? Because I think the whole world is like, what, Green Lantern?
I'm trying to be nice to those who do like it. But yeah, I have no interest necessarily. But now that I know who's involved, this, they may be able to do something and make it good.
Now, is this live action or is this animated?
As far as I know, it's live action. Yeah, it's not animated. The pictures that I saw was the two was the main actors, and they did not look like they were penciled.
I mean, that makes me more.
I mean, an animated Kyle Chandler would look kind of cool. I'm not gonna lie. Like imagine Kyle Chandler as an animated coach, Friday Night Lights, going out. Hey, coach.
Yeah, we could AI him. No problem.
Yeah. No, Kyle Chandler and Damon Lindelof. Those are two names that will always sound resonantly, very loudly in my little neck of the woods in my office. So, but again, it's Green Lantern.
All right. So next up, The Burrows on Netflix. Still another one. I do not have a date, everybody, but I Googled this stuff. They said it's coming out. Well, the Duffer Brothers, they're not done with Netflix or science fiction storytelling quite yet. Even though we're all still reeling for the massive Stranger Things series finale, but the new series, The Burrows, starring Alfred Molina and Gina Davis?
Wow.
As part of an unlikely group who have to stop a supernatural threat in a seemingly picturesque retirement community. And I was like, all right, I'll watch this. What do you think?
Alfred Molina, Gina Davis going through assisted living facility, killing supernatural ghosts.
Yeah, that's what I think was happening.
Sounds good to me. Is this set in the 80s too?
That's a great question. I could dig deeper if you want me to, but I don't recall that I think it's happens in more modern time, but anyway, yeah, it sounds crazy, doesn't it?
This is the retirement home community version of The Burbs.
It could be.
Gina Davis, wow.
Okay. Gina Davis,
still,
yeah.
Still I was working. Like, that's impressive. That's great. Love that for her.
She was in the. She was
I love that for her.
Oh no, she wasn't in the sequel to. Was she in the sequel to Beetlejuice? Or Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice?
I don't remember because I put that on for 5 minutes and turned it off. It was so bad.
I didn't finish any. Yeah, I did not finish it. I don't think, was she? Well, we're going to get real for this, but I don't really remember.
Doesn't matter if she was because nobody watched. It was so bad. So bad.
Yeah.
Go watch the musical. The musical on Broadway, so much better. So much more fun.
Go watch the musical or go watch the original again. You'll be fine. Yeah. One of the two.
All right. Well, that's a lot of TV that's coming out. That's right? New. Okay. That's 30 new shows. And on top of that, we still have 15 more that are coming back for seasons 2, 3, 4, 5, etc. I am super excited for these lists because this is where the bread and butter's made to see who made the cut from last year. Because there is a lot of good returning stuff in 2026. I am super impressed with the slate. Go ahead and take it away, Kyle. What 5 shows are you most excited to have come back and grace our small screens?
So the first is Hijack. It came back on January 14th on Apple TV with season 2. And so the first one was a plane hijacking. The second one is a subway hijacking, but there's a big twist at the end of the first episode, which is exciting. It makes me even more excited to see where this goes. Second is Ted, the live action prequel sitcom returns on Peacock on March 5th for its second season. So that shows you the young version of what's his name?
Like Ted, the teddy bear Ted?
Yeah, the teddy bear, him having adventures with the in the high school with the okay. with the main guy. But it's like a classic sitcom, and it plays with those tropes. But it doesn't tone down the language at all, which is a lot of fun.
Love that. I'm sure Seth MacFarlane's still involved.
Yes, he's still involved. He does the voice of Ted as the younger Ted.
And well, this is season 2 same, coming back?
Season 2. And I think they're dropping all the episodes at once.
Amazing.
On March
5th. Okay.
Then next up is The Pitt, season 2. It returned on January 8th on HBO Max. And after that first season, like this new second season takes place around July 4th weekend, I think. And it's done in like real time. Each episode is an hour of the, or not real time, but each episode is an hour of the, covers an hour of the shift that these doctors are on. And after watching this show, every other medical show seems to pale in comparison. Like, I just really enjoy this one.
I mean,
popular show.
I got 2 episodes already. And yeah, it's big, picks up right kind of where it left off. It's the same same cast of characters is back. They introduced a few new people. Some interesting storylines already starting to develop just two episodes in. Nobody's gotten a firework hand blow off situation.
I'm sure that's coming.
Oh, it's got it'll come eventually. Yeah, for sure.
Then next up is The Boys returns for its final season 5 on April 8th on Prime Video. The fourth season I thought was a little weak. It felt like lazy writing, just like copying actual like real news stories. But I'm hoping for season 5 they can stick the landing. I've actually enjoyed Gen V, its spinoff, even more than the original show. But they've kind of weaved that in to lead into this like final season of The Boys. So I'm interested to see how they close out.
Yeah, and I kind of forgot that they actually had a fifth season coming back, because I'm still like right at the beginning of season 3, because I switched over to Gen V because I was hearing such great things. And so I've been really on the Gen V and kind of forgot about The Boys. So I'll have to dip back over, because I got to obviously finish it since I started it. This one isn't done by Ryan Murphy, so it has to be finished.
Yeah, I feel bad. It's a show that I started and never finished, never got back to it. So maybe I will. Maybe I will eventually.
You should watch Gen V. That's entertaining.
Okay.
And then my last one is Malcolm in the Middle, Life's Still Unfair. It's a 4-episode limited series that comes to Hulu Disney on April 10th. So after shielding himself and his daughter from his family for over a decade, Malcolm is dragged back into their orbit when Hal and Lois demand his presence at their 40th anniversary party. So this brings back almost all of the same cast. They replace Dewey with another actor, although he looks more like Dewey than Dewey, like as an adult. And so, yeah, it's a new, technically a new series, but it's really bringing back and continuing the story of Malcolm in the Middle after, I don't know how many years it's been since it last aired, at least a decade. So yeah, I'm curious to revisit these. They're doing it as like 4 episodes instead of a 2-hour movie. So it's going to, I guess, follow more of a sitcom format than like doing just one 2-hour story.
And this is kind of fun to like bring this stuff back this way, like do like a wedding or in this case a 40th anniversary party, like married 40 years. Holy cow. With Malcolm as your kid, like kudos to you. Congratulations.
Yeah. This should be good.
Should be good. In that same kind of realm for me, they are coming back with Scrubs. Yes. We said after season 8, Scrubs was done. And then they came back with season 9. And it was terrible. It ruins the show. We just pretend that season 9 never existed. So I really hope that this is going to take place without season 9's influence and just come right after season 8. But Scrubs will be back February 25th on ABC. I'm in for, you know, Guy Love, Eagle, Papa Bear, bring it all in, Chocolate Bear. It's going to be good. It's going to be
so
good.
You're hoping that this one. Season will basically scrub season 9 is what you said.
Would that be nice? one can only hope. And as far as I know, everybody is back. So
okay,
it's gonna be great.
So I've heard too. So should be interesting.
The search for the One Piece continues on Netflix. Live action season 2, as well as another season of the animated, are all dropping about the same time. So if you are a Luffy fan, One Piece will be coming back to Netflix. Can't wait. The first season was really, really good. I got into the One Piece universe through the live action. My friends are very much in the animated train. They talk about it all the time, but there's like 1,000 episodes of the animated. So I was like, yeah, I'll stick with my 8 to get the general gist of the story.
I've not seen one piece of it.
You're a funny guy.
Neither have I. But when they did FanFest,
yes.
I knew it was big, because when they did FanFest out here in Universal Studios Hollywood, that was one of the big things they had, was the One Piece stuff. And I'm like, I don't know anything about this, but maybe I should.
The live action for you, Jeremiah, is right up your alley.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. I would definitely pick that up.
I think my brother said he enjoyed the live action one. He doesn't watch the animated.
It was really good. It was really good. My anime friends said, you know, it does it justice.
All
right. Yeah. You can't do 1,000 episodes, right? In 8 episodes so far, but who knows? Maybe they'll get there. Speaking of other cartoons turned live action, in a much better way for that matter, even though they did steal some stuff from book 2 and moved it into book 1 for the first season, but Avatar The Last Airbender is coming back for book 2 Earth in mid 2026 to Netflix.
This is the Na'vi, right?
No, this is not the blue people. This is the real Avatar, the first Avatar.
The one
that understood the elements ahead of time before James Cameron decided to do the water show and then the fire show and the earth show. Yeah, no. Avatar The Last Airbender follows Aang and his friends as Aang, after a 100-year coma in an iceberg, realizes that he has the power of the Avatar to control all four elements and bring balance to the world as the Fire Nation is trying to take over everything. So first season was obviously the quest to learn water. This season will be the quest to learn earth. And we are introduced to a new character in Toph. Can't wait to see how they do Toph for the live action. It's going to be pretty impressive. Then, as I mentioned previously, MGM Plus this spring, quote unquote, cross fingers, because that's where it normally usually drops. And the fourth season has been done filming for a while. So we're hoping that this is going to be the case, but it's not confirmed. But From, F-R-O-M, remember those four letters, because that show was a surprise when it first aired. Harold Penrose is the main lead here. It's basically a town that when people arrive in the town, they never leave. And then eventually they realize that in the nighttime hours, you don't leave your house because there's some scary ass shit going down in the neighborhood. So check this out. It's got four seasons. It's a very quick binge. I think it's like eight episodes a season. You can get caught up pretty quick when From drops on MGM Plus later this spring.
And I did look up. It used to be called Epics. Was what MGM
Epics? That's
Plus
right. Epics was the old one. Stars Epics together, yeah. And that's why it switched over. Netflix said late 2026. It was on their Tudum event, so don't take my word for it. Take the Tudum's word for it. The Three Body Problem season 2 is finally coming.
What?
I cannot believe that it's been this long since we watched the original season of Three Body Problem. But yes, they're going to continue the book series, and Three Body Problem season 2 will drop on Netflix late in 2026. Remember, this is the one where the aliens are basically coming. They wanted to work with us on Earth, and then they decided they weren't going to work with us on Earth. And it was a whole bunch of like math and VR games that they had to do. And they saw numbers in the sky counting down. It's a wild ride. If you haven't seen season 1, I would totally check it out. If you have Netflix, it's a great show. It's a lot of fun. Can't wait for the second season.
So it sounds like what you're telling me is to go ahead and go back to it, because confession, I watched the first few episodes and I just was bored and had a hard time getting into it. I'm not familiar with the source material, but it sounds like what you're saying is stick with it because it does get good and it's worth it to get caught up.
Yeah, the first two episodes were kind of like challenging because it's like, what is going
that's
on?
That's the ones I gave up on.
You know, and then once you finally get into the VR game and they start to solve the problem and you realize what's really going on, that's when it gets wild.
And it's tough for me because I'm a completionist. so it was like one of those rare shows where I probably would eventually got back to it, but I'm sure I got into something else that prevented me from getting back to it eventually. So, all right. Well, so it sounds like I quit the worst time. I think, after the second episode. So,
yeah, if you could get through Breaking Bad season 1, this is a show you can definitely get through.
All right. Sounds good. You know, what's funny is, I'm so glad you said that because I wanted to mention this. I did not know until hearing you all talk about this, I did not know that it was a thing that season 1 of Breaking Bad, a lot of people did not like or had a hard time with. I never felt that way at any point at season 1.
Same here.
From the very beginning to the very end of season 1, I loved every second of it. It was like the greatest thing I was ever watching at the time. And then I hear people going, oh yeah, I really struggled. I'm like, oh wow, you did? I guess I'm in a minor group of people. But you said you also loved the first season?
Yeah, I heard them talk about saying it was a struggle to get through the first season. That was first I ever heard anyone had problems with the first season.
Yeah, like, I had no idea
it was great.
Thing. Yeah. So, all right. Well, anyway, since you mentioned it. All right. So I teased earlier that I have a show on Peacock that I am currently watching. In fact, by the time this episode comes out, you'll be through, I think, 6 episodes, I believe. But that is The Traitors is back. That's right. The U.S. version, of course, is what I'm referring to. You can watch some of the international versions on the U.S. Peacock. But the currently one that is running right now is the US version. I don't know if I talked about this, but my good friend Rob Cesionino was cast for this season. It's a great show. It's kind of like a mafia version of a TV show. I love it. I think it's the best competition reality show or best new competition reality show that's come out in the last few years. It's a lot of entertaining, lots of drama. The US version's got a lot of drama. It's not the best version of the game. The best version of the game is the version where you have a bunch of newbies, you know, normies that you don't know each other. That's the best version of the game. This is the best drama version of the game is the US version. But spoiler alert, they are casting right now for a season of the U.S. version with normal people. So, and maybe yours truly might be, throwing his name in the hat. I said it earlier, the best show on television, in my opinion, one of the best shows on television is Shrinking. It's returning on January 28th. That is on Apple TV. If you're not watching this show, this is the most, I don't even know what to say. It's just so good. I love this show. Everybody that's in it is fantastic. This is I don't want to spoil it, but it's just so good. Is any of you guys watching Shrinking?
All I have to say is it's Jason Segel and Harrison Ford.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, I haven't seen it, but the cast sounds great. Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway, it's fantastic. That is returning. I have to mention it on February 25th. It's going to surprise some of you, but Survivor.
Do we have to mention it though?
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do.
We're still,
season 50.
But we're still like really bitter about how this all went down, aren't we? Because it was supposed to be in the hands of the 50. Fans, and they like literally said, "Hey, let's just pull a whole bunch of people from the last most recent five seasons and not actually give the fans what they wanted."
Fans vote on options, so. Right?
Yeah. Do we want to make this a 6-hour long podcast? Because I could talk about this for like hours.
Oh, I'm aware.
And I don't get me heated up. I'm trying to sell this, okay? Because the CBS owes me money, and I'm trying to sell it for them. Season 50. 50th season. Yes, that show is still on. The 50th season. It's all returning players. Don't get me started about the parts that I'm...
cycle, right? Because that's really only 25 years.
25 years, 50 seasons. Yeah, that's correct. The show does have two seasons per year. So, yeah. But still, 25. I mean, that's a long time for any show to still be on. Yeah. Yeah, I have people all the time, the reaction to them is like, wow, you're still watching that, huh? Yes, don't judge me. I love it. But yes, that comes on February 25th. And then at some point this summer, we are getting the return of The Bear. I have mixed feelings about this. To me, The Bear is probably one of the best dramas I have watched in a long time.
I thought it was a comedy.
I know, I'm sorry. Dramedy. Sorry, Hulu. Sorry, Disney. anyway, I felt like last season, I don't know if you guys watched the show, but I felt like last season could have easily ended right there. We could end the show, but we're getting another one. Yeah. And I'm still intrigued. I love this cast and it's a great show. And I'm here for as long as they're going to continue to keep making it.
I'm all for shows where you can actually say, I have watched a complete story at the end of the season. And there'd be enough stuff there that you could do a whole lot more. Like Dark Matter comes to mind on Apple TV Plus. Dark Matter was buttoned up. It is the book, right? The author that was involved with the TV show said, this is the story. This is all we're doing. But man, then there was like, oh, and there was that character and there was that character and there was that character. And it's like, so if they ever wanted to come back to it, they could. So I love the fact that The Bear is coming back. I think there's still stories there that can be told.
Yeah.
I'm down
100%. Yeah, there definitely is a story to be told. And you're right. I think that the showrunner has a way of being able to tell a story. I mean, obviously, third season actually was a continuation into the fourth season. But yeah, he found a way to like end that season to where you're right. It could end here. But it definitely has enough story to continue. I'm really excited about it. Speaking of something else I'm excited about, one of my favorite shows from last year.
The best show. I Googled it. The best show from last year.
One of the best shows. Yeah, 100%. It was so great.
This was the best show from last year.
Oh, wow. That was your number one, huh?
Oh, my gosh. I've never laughed so much.
Right?
And so hard watching this show. And it's the fact that funny. Seth Rogen's getting so much acclaim for it through like the Globes and everything. And people are just...
Yeah.
I mean, people were clamoring to get on the show, right? I mean, all of the special guest stars that showed up on this thing.
There were so many cameos. It was crazy.
So many cameos. It was so great. The studio was great.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know if I mentioned, we were talking about, yes, we're referring to the studio. It's on Apple TV. From what I understand, I Googled it because I was thinking, when is it coming back? And then every search I've done, it says late 2026. Now, this could wind up being kind of like the Seven Kingdoms show, where last year we thought it was coming out in 2025, and then we wind up not getting it until the beginning of this year. So hopefully that's not the case. Hopefully we are getting it at some point at the end of this year. But if it does come back, yes, 2026, the studio. If you love Hollywood, if you love a great comedy, this is it. You'll love this. You love movie making, right? It's a love story to movie making, I feel like.
Exactly.
So it's great. And that's my list.
Well, that's a lot of TV for 2026.
Right?
There's probably stuff on here that we haven't mentioned. There's stuff that you all are like, well, where's this show? Why didn't you talk about that show? If you got stuff you want us to talk about, obviously we have a Facebook group. Go on over to the Hollywood Outsider Facebook group and Facebook page. We can also have conversations over on X and over on Instagram. Definitely come check us out there. Anything you guys have been watching recently, either stuff that we haven't talked about here that may have crossed your radar in the last couple of days? Because I got one, because I promised people I would report back after last week.
I was going to say, let's hear it. I think I know what it is, and I want to know what you thought.
Oh my gosh. I watched 3 episodes, as promised, of Starfleet Academy.
Tell me.
How bad is it?
How bad?
Section 31 or worse?
Dude, whoa. That's a tough... Section 31 is a whole different kind of weird than this is. They're both equally painful. I really wanted to come in here and say, like, okay... I'm going to position it this way. I'm a Star Trek fan. I am not one of the Star Trek, like, kill people and go find their families because they ruined my Star Trek fan. I'm a general Star Trek fan. I believe in Gene Roddenberry. I love his vision for what he was trying to go for with a utopian society. I think Gene would have been really, really proud of Star Trek Deep Space Nine personally, with a different, the war and the religious sects between Bajor and Cardassia and things of that nature. So, one of the things that I think Gene strives for would be like the harmoniousness of all races. And so when this show opens up, we have a part Jem'Hadar, part Klingon. So if we thought Worf was weird, right, with a human and a Klingon getting together and making Worf in Next Generation, think a Jem'Hadar and a Klingon getting together. I don't know what that sex was like, because that was some rough ass shit, let me tell you. If you know anything about those two races.
That would be something to view.
My first reaction was like, that's weird. Okay. I was like, this is like the Jem'Hadar. They were the bad guys. The war was a big thing in the 25th century. So like, this is weird. I don't get it. And then I stopped back and said, wait a minute. This is the 32nd century. Like, this is 700 to 800 years later than the Star Trek that we know. So I'm like, okay, I can give some grace to a bunch of stuff, because I don't know what the world would look like in 800 years. I'm living the world as new as every other Star Trek fan at this point in time. And so really the big thing about the 32nd century is that there was this event called the Burn, and the Burn basically killed warp drive, crippled the Federation, broke planets apart. So people that used to be our allies in the Alpha Quadrant are no longer our allies. One of them being Beta Zed, is a big planet, right? And so the second episode deals with the Beta Zed faction coming to San Francisco to meet with Starfleet to basically come back into the Federation and reconnect ties. It's done through the Beta Zed's daughter and one of the cadets from Starfleet Academy. And of course, through the kids, adults come to this realization of like, we should just work together to build what is the better Federation. And I'm like, I'm watching this going like, okay, Gene would be really proud of this. Like, this is something that I can feel the Trek purpose and thing inside of this second episode. However, the actor that plays the Jem'Hadar Klingon mashup tries way too hard. I mean, it is just over the top acting. I don't know if like they have like a prosthetic inside of her mouth. It sounds weird. They have a Klingon That's one of the students, the Klingon. They have some kind of like auto-tune robotic voice to make them sound more Klingon. It's terrible. It is so noticeable. Like it's almost hard to watch it. No offense to Holly Hunter. Holly Hunter's great as an actress, but like her tics and the way she maneuvers, and she's supposed to be the chancellor of the school. She's very un-Starfleet, which maybe that's the case in the 32nd century. I don't know. But it's sometimes it's kind of like awkward to watch her. Paul Giamatti plays the villain in the first episode, and he is just all over the map, which I don't think is a Paul problem. I definitely think it's a writing problem. And a lot of this is a writing problem. The dialogue is bad. The conversations are forced. It's very, like I was afraid of, very CW. And it shows greatly in the third episode, where we have literally a at this new Starfleet Academy, they have the Academy plus a war school, and the two schools are basically having like a color war faction like battle between the two of them. And it's like, okay, like what are we doing? And so then they play some pranks, and then literally on the giant monitor, there's people flipping each other off. And I'm like, we don't flip people off in the Star Trek universe. That's not cool. This is an attempt, I think, to grab a different generation of people. And I think in grabbing that generation of people, we're dumbing down content that shouldn't be dumbed down and probably says more about our society today than what Star Trek used to be. So yeah, unfortunately, I can't go past the third episode. It's bad. Like I thought Lower Decks was weird being a cartoon and being kind of goofy and funny, but Lower Decks actually has some really great episodes in it. And same with Star Trek Prodigy being a cartoon that was actually geared for the Y7 audience. There's some pretty hardcore deep shit in Prodigy that I was like, but this is really heavy for a kid's show, you know, but very much like Avatar, The Last Airbender, like it's some heavy stuff. And this is just CBS CW written all over it. And it's,
like, I saw the trailer and immediately was like, I don't know if I'm going to like this.
No,
it just did not look like it was going to be good.
Yeah. I don't know who greenlit this one or what they were thinking about it. I know they want to try to write new stories in the 32nd century and keep that timeline going, but it's bad.
Yeah, look to see who the writers are. I'm not really familiar with a lot of them. You had mentioned Lower Decks. I know my friend David Wright is one of the writers on that, who was on Survivor. But anyway, it just sounds like terrible writing, and that's a shame. It really is a shame. So, but hey, at least you saved me. I can move on to something else.
Yeah.
You save me some time.
Do not waste your time. Starfleet Academy, fail.
Yeah. It's getting like 4.4 on IMDb right now, so I can imagine it's not doing very well.
No. It's definitely not.
Bummer. Kyle, well, I've already mentioned all the stuff I'm watching. I honestly been spending this time, because waiting for Seven Kingdoms to come out, I've been spending this time to catch up, well, outside of course watching The Traitors, I've been spending this time catching up on some stuff that I missed from last year, so... That's what I've been doing with my time. So I haven't watched anything new that's come out.
I know, Kyle, you do the AMC Screen Unseen. Any good ones you've seen lately?
Ooh,
good question. I did see on Monday they had a mystery movie in 3D IMAX, which there's only one movie it could have been, which is Mercy, which comes out, it came out on this week. Which I enjoyed it. It's like done in real time about Chris Pratt, who his character is on trial for the murder of his wife, and he only has 90 minutes to prove to this AI judge that he's innocent. And so he has access to information, but he's locked down in a chair and has to try to figure out a way to prove that he didn't do it. So, but it's done in real time, so it's pretty exciting and fast paced.
Does it work?
Yeah, I thought I really enjoyed it. Rebecca Ferguson plays the AI judge. She's always great. And so, yeah, that one was good. And I had mentioned before, Malice, which is a Prime Video show. It's a 6-episode show. I watched that. It has Jack Whitehall and David Duchovny. It's like a psychological thriller. Like Jack Whitehall plays like this nanny who has some kind of secret that he's hiding, and he's like getting his vengeance on this family. And so it's not typically he plays like the comical, like funny role, but he's much more sinister, evil guy in this one. So it's a nice change for him. So I enjoyed that one. It's on Prime Video. And I've been watching lots of the traders. Like, I watched like the latest Canada season, the latest UK season. The celebrity the best, UK season was really good. That's available on
Peacock. That's one I still need to watch, but I heard it was good. Yeah.
Yeah. That one's on Peacock. The UK is also airing a new season right now. It's the same time as the US one. And they always film those at the same location and do a lot of the same tasks. So it's always weird flip-flopping between the two because you're seeing a different group do the same exact tasks.
Can you imagine? You're like watching one and then you nod off a little bit for that like 20-minute nap and you wake back up and you're like, wait, which one? Is this the same show? Was I watching a different show?
Well, you got to remember, okay, which group were the traders in this one and which groups were the traders in this one? You try to remember the different cast. Although the U.S. one's all like celebrity, it's all like professional reality TV people, which I'm excited. Yeah, yeah. That's why they're doing. I'm excited to see our regular people season.
Me too.
For the U.S. because that's what they do for all the other countries. It's like mostly regular people. They might have one or two celebrities in there.
Yeah, like I said earlier, it's the way the game's really supposed to be designed. Yeah. Because when you have people that people are already familiar with, that perception, you already have that perception of each other.
Yeah, predisposition. You
know what I mean? Yeah, exactly. So that,
or they already have friends that they know. And
100%. Like, yeah.
They're coming in, teaming up before the show even starts.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's, you watch the U.S. celebrity version, whatever you want to call it, for just fun, hot drama. You watch the other international versions if you want to really watch how it's supposed to be played.
Love that.
Well, awesome. That's the celebrity U.S. The celebrity U.K. one, which is actual celebrities.
Yes,
like, I heard is that, actually really good.
That sounds exciting.
Are those UK celebrities, or these are celebrities like we would know?
You would recognize. Like, there's still a bunch that Americans would recognize, like some people from Harry Potter.
Harry Potter.
And there's definitely people you would recognize, like, as even though they're UK celebrities.
Love it. That's great. All right, well, that is under 2 hours, gents, to cover a lot of television coming out in 2026. Always thanks so much, Kyle, for being here. TV knowledge extraordinaire, probably rivaling my own at this point. I have to see, Kyle, your TV time app to see if you're getting to the point of like passing me in total time.
I gotta be past you, I'm sure. I also enter my movies in there too, so I
started putting the movies in, but my TV stuff, I'm at 29 months. I went back and put in all my stuff from my childhood that I could remember. So
I didn't go back to that.
So yeah. I figured out that I have spent at least 2¾ years of my life watching TV. I got 34,000 episodes of television under my belt.
I don't even know how you can remember that. Like, I would. Oh man, I mean, just such a hard time.
You just remember like the shows you watched, right? Like Mask.
You just go back as far as you can remember.
He-Man and Thundercats.
Yeah,
and, you know, Inspector Gadget.
Airwolf.
Yeah.
A-Team.
Yeah, all that good stuff.
Yeah, maybe someday I'll sit down and do that. That'd be fun
for sure. And Jeremiah, so glad that you're able to come on to the Hoe. Officially a Hoe member now. I know you've been a listener for a long time.
Super honored to be on it. I really, really was honored that you asked me to come on. It's been a lot of fun. I mean, I love talking TV. You know that.
You played the Amanda part well. I mispronounced a whole bunch of names, so it worked out great.
That's what I was here for. I didn't even start off by telling you that I don't pronounce names correctly. So I figured, hey, I'm filling in. Why not?
Why not? Well, you look lovely, of course.
Of course.
For an audio podcast. All right, well, that'll do it for this week. Oscar nominations are dropping, so you'll be able to hear all about that on our next episode when that comes out. So who are the snubs? Who are the big takeaways? Will Sinners be one of the big ones? What about One Battle After Another? Or will K-pop Demon Hunters take the gold? See what I did there?
See what you did there.
Anyways, we'll be back next week with all the Oscar talk and some more. Aaron and Amanda will be back hopefully as well. Thanks so much for listening this week. And remember, the next time that you pick up a remote to watch all of these TV shows and about 600 more scripted shows in 2026, eat popcorn twice a week because it'll save your life for Amanda's study.